Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome. It is Thursday, September 6th. Welcome to Today's Issues. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and One News Now. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Great to be with you. Another busy, busy news day.
Yes. Yeah, so you know, when you signed up to be news director, you know, you came just after I did, I think.
97.
I came in 96. Mm-hmm. You ever dream you'd have days and weeks and months of this kind of news?
Unending. And there's never a quiet period anymore. I've said it often. It used to be the summertime, you know, the lawmakers went home and they went to their fairs and talked to people at home.
Stopped causing trouble.
But we'll get into this. I mean, there's this great, huge ideological divide that's developed in this country. It has a spiritual basis, and we're busy trying to cover that.
That's right. Walker Wildman, assistant to the president. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here today.
Please let our listeners know that they can, if they so choose, also watch this show.
Yeah, absolutely. They can watch two ways. You can watch on Facebook. You can watch the live stream on Facebook. Just type in Today's Issues. You'll find our Facebook page there. Also, you can watch the show on YouTube. Type in Today's Issues on YouTube. Watch the show on our YouTube channel. Lastly, I'll be posting all the news articles, many of the news reports from onenewsnow.com. And if you want to read more into the news stories of the day, just visit our Facebook page.
All right. A lot of things happening, as you mentioned, Fred. We might as well just jump into it. There's no easy way to. Some of this stuff is just mind-blowing, what's happening in our country. I do want to just say this, just to encourage our listeners, because a lot of what you have heard and will continue to hear on American Family Radio, because we will cover the issues that are at the intersection of biblical truth and what is happening in our country around the world. Keep your eyes on Jesus at all times, because otherwise you can't get discouraged. I have some moments where I need to go down the hall to get some free popcorn, the Diet Coke, you know, because it can be stressful stuff. Keep your eyes on Jesus. But Fred, we gotta start digging our way out of it. What's first up?
Well, let's deal with, and we've been talking about this on our programs for the last 24 hours or so, is this op-ed that was published by the New York Times. Let me just read what the Times today, and they published this yesterday, the Times today is taking the rare step of publishing an anonymous op-ed essay. Now, this person identifies themselves as a high-ranking official in the Trump administration. So somebody in the Trump administration, if you believe it is a high-ranking official, right, and that's not 100% necessarily true, because we know the New York Times has worked against this president from day one, even when he was a candidate.
Yeah, that's not rare.
Yeah.
When the Times says, the Times today is taking the rare step of publishing an anonymous op-ed essay.
Yeah.
It's rare because an op-ed should not be anonymous.
Yes.
People who come forth should defend their views and be able to be questioned by other opposing viewpoints. So you ask yourselves, why is the New York Times taking this rare step? Well, because what has not been rare is their hatred of the Trump administration. Now, I will say that I still at this point give the New York Times the benefit of the doubt and expect that they at least know who this individual is. And so the person probably is. Otherwise, I don't think the New York Times would have given them their op-ed page. But to your point, Fred, the fact of the matter is they're taking this rare step because they have a clear agenda. Sink this administration. Mm-hmm.
The author, we will call him, and at one point, I think he's the person is referred to as a he, but since that, the New York Times has said, well, we had to call the person something, and they even apologize for using the term he, pronoun he. Anyway, so here's part of what this person had to say. I work for the president, but like-minded colleagues and I have vowed to thwart parts of his agenda and his worst inclinations. So there's the first admission we need to be clear about. They work for this administration, they say. This person is high up in the, but they are working actively, and he says he has colleagues. So there's a team who were appointed by the president, apparently, because that's mentioned in here, appointees.
Right.
But they are actively working to undermine the president and what he is doing. Now listen to this. To be clear, I'm reading here from the op-ed. To be clear, ours is not the popular resistance of the left. We want the administration to succeed and think many of its policies have already made America safer and more prosperous. Well, that's an interesting admission. Mm-hmm. We're working against the president, the writer says. But he also says his policies have already made America safer and more prosperous. I guess they're opposed to that. The next sentence, but we believe our first duty is to this country, and the president continues to act in a manner that is detrimental to the health of our republic. That almost sounds like a contradiction. He's doing things that are really good for the country, make it more prosperous, but we're going to work against him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's jump in a little bit here as we go down this editorial. Again, just to kind of reset, we're talking about what everyone else is talking about, and that is the New York Times publishing yesterday an anonymous op-ed admitting the New York Times is that it's rare for them to do that. The headline of this anonymous piece, I am part of the resistance inside the Trump administration. Now, the first thing I just wanted to take note of is that word, the resistance, that became the word that characterized the Democratic Party in the immediate aftermath of the 2016 election.
Yes.
Resist. We're going to resist this administration. So to me, that's a telltale sign that this person, and there could be lots of appointees in a new administration that the president has no personal affinity for. Because he says, get me a list of people you think would be good for this department. Mm-hmm. They become appointees, but it doesn't mean the president knows them or that they know the president personally. One other thing I wanted to mention early in this, and then we'll get right to the things that you talked about in this op-ed, is that the individual says, it's not just that the special counsel looms large or that the country is bitterly divided over Mr. Trump's leadership. Now, in my opinion, when I read that, I thought, you know what, pal? The division goes much deeper than President Trump. Mm-hmm. And that is the real problem here. And we see this fault line actually in the administration. There is a bitterly divided country, but it didn't start with Trump's leadership. Trump's leadership exposed the bitter division, because the secular left thought they were going to have 8 years of Hillary Clinton following 8 years of Barack Obama, and they are so angry at Trump for derailing that. Mm-hmm. So Trump didn't create the bitterly divided nation, Walker.
Yeah.
This nation was bitterly divided before.
Yeah, the reality is it's one thing if we were in a dictatorship and Trump made his way up there through nefarious means, but that's not how we operate. President Trump is in the White House because 62 million people voted for him, and almost 300 or over 300 electorate voters in each state voted for then candidate Trump. So that's it. The American people voted for President Trump. That's who they wanted to be president. Whether you like his policies or not, that's how our government is set up, to where the people and the electorate speak, then we send somebody to the White House. And to try to thwart that, it's to try to thwart the way our founding fathers set up our system. So really, the person thinks they're being righteous and holy by trying to subvert Trump. They're really trying to subvert the will of the people.
That's exactly right. And let's not forget, and you make a good point here, Ed, that Trump exposed the division.
Right.
He exposed the division in the Republican Party.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's start there. I mean, he talked about cleaning up the swamp, and he wasn't just talking about Democrats.
Right.
He was talking about his own party. But his own party elected him.
Yeah.
And then the country, as you point out, Walker, elected him.
And I'll just add one thing to that, because this will be for our listeners. This is kind of be a kind of a rapid fire as we kind of comb through this letter, rapid fire commentary. But I'll say this: the president was elected, I believe, by Republicans, by Republican voters, because the majority of Republican voters were sick and tired of Republicans not getting anything done.
Yeah, that's right.
There was 17 candidates for the nomination of the Republican Party, and then candidate Trump shot right to the forefront with his promise to build a wall.
Yeah.
And to me, that exposes the do-nothingness and the swampishness of the Republican Party, by and large, many exceptions. But the fact of the matter is, Trump could not have been elected if Republicans had been conservatives all along.
That's right.
That's
right. On with this editorial. This person goes on to say, the root of the problem is the president's immorality. Anyone who works with him knows he is not moored to any discernible first principles that guide his decision-making. What does he mean by first principles?
And he says anyone who works with him.
Yeah.
Right. Are you speaking for everyone who works with the president?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although he was elected as a Republican, the president shows little affinity for ideals long espoused by conservatives. Free minds, free markets, and free people. I had to read that three times. I could not believe what I was reading. This president, free markets, what do you think the tariff battle that's going on right now is all about? It's
right.
about free markets.
Yeah, and just to kind of add a little bit to that, people say, well, free markets can't include tariffs. Well, if you're already dealing with trading with countries that already have tariffs on your products, and you institute tariffs because you say, I want to make things truly fair.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, you know, the president has said to Europe, hey, you want to drop tariffs? Let's drop all tariffs.
Yes.
Okay, you want absolutely free trade? That's fine. I'll make that deal.
Mm-hmm.
So this person is focusing only on tariffs and not focusing on the tariffs that have been locked in against the U.S. for, you know, a decade or more.
Yeah, and President Trump didn't run as a social and fiscal conservative. He ran basically as his own candidate. He had his own ideas. I mean, he wasn't a traditional conservative on the campaign trail, but conservatives still liked a lot of his ideas. This writer is acting as if Ted Cruz won the election in 2016, and then Ted Cruz is making policy decisions like Donald Trump. But that's not the case. Donald Trump won. None of us thought he was a rock solid constitutional conservative.
That's a great point.
And President Trump is his own person, if you will. And so it's not honest to act like he was all along some conservative.
It's also not honest to act as if President Trump, when he was candidate Trump, was saying something different than what he's doing
right
now. Just to your point.
Yeah.
Now we can't question this op-ed writer. We can't. You know what I'd like to ask? I'd like to ask the op-ed writer right here at this spot. What is it that President Trump has done that we didn't know he was going to do when he was running?
That's
yeah.
right.
Exactly.
I mean, the guy, to his credit, and we have on this show said countless times, he says things and he does things that make me cringe, that I go, what are you thinking? Please don't do that. Please don't say that. Okay, but one thing I can't fault the man for is being a dishonest politician, and I've had my fill of those.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This man is doing what he said he was going to do. So whoever you are writing this New York Times op-ed, don't pretend like you're surprised.
Yeah.
And if you are an appointee that has come into the job, which the person identifies himself as an appointee, you shouldn't have taken the job because you knew
absolutely
what your boss wanted
yep
to do.
Yes.
Unless
absolutely
they took the job knowing with the intent to subvert the will of the president.
Yeah, if that's why this person took
yeah,
the job.
Sure,
yeah.
I'll take
part
the
of
job
the resistance. Yeah,
yeah I'll take the
it
job. It gives me an opportunity to subvert what Trump wants to do.
Now, this is the next line of this op-ed. Quote, in addition to his mass marketing of the notion that the press is the enemy of the people, in quotation marks, President Trump's impulses are generally anti-trade and anti-democratic. What? What are you talking about?
I love how he or she never expounds upon it and gives two or three examples.
No.
They make these statements and then move on to the next subject.
Well, and let me just toss in here what other people have. This doesn't originate with me. But physician, heal thyself. Okay? So the writer of this op-ed accuses President Trump of being anti-democratic. So your solution for that is, as an appointee, an unelected appointee in the government, is to work with other unelected people in the government and thwart the duly elected president of the United States.
Yeah.
And then you're going to call him anti-democratic.
Yes.
I mean, this is like a nonviolent coup that's going on.
Exactly.
So let's talk about what's anti-democratic.
Well, and his mention of the mass marketing of the notion that the press is the enemy of the people, I think it's kind of interesting that this person went to the New York Times, who makes no secret of its hatred of this president.
Right.
So there's proof in itself. You went to a press organization, a publication that you know hates this president and wants to undermine everything he's trying to
do. And the American people's disrespect for and disappointment with the mainstream media preceded President Trump's election by decades.
Mm-hmm.
They have been sinking in the minds of the American people. They're right down there with lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that shows how much, and Congress.
Yeah.
That shows how much disrespect the people have for the mainstream media.
Yeah. But to say his impulses are generally anti-trade and anti-democratic. Again, to your point, Walker, give us some examples, please, of that he's anti-trade.
Meanwhile, he just announced a trade deal with Mexico.
Yeah,
exactly.
Week. And we're not able to question this writer because the New York Times, to cite them, took the rare step of publishing an anonymous op-ed.
Yes.
So we can't question the person or find out if the person actually knows what he or she is talking about.
Or even if they exist.
Well, true. Right.
I mean, we don't even know if they exist or not.
And the accusation he's anti-democratic, give us an example of that. I mean, he was elected by the people of this country. Where is he going around? I mean, basically what he goes around is the mainstream media. He's not beholden to them.
Right.
He is not. He's not kneeling before them and saying, "What do I have to say? What do I have to do to please you to get good media?"
Right.
Which other presidents have done.
Right.
So there's a little bit more to this, and we're quickly running out of time. But I want to play for you right now. We can go back to this, but the president has responded to the op-ed.
I find that hard to believe.
So I want to play you a little bit of the president yesterday and last night responding to this New York Times op-ed from the anonymous person.
If the failing New York Times has an anonymous editorial, can you believe it? Anonymous, meaning gutless, a gutless editorial. We're doing a great job. When you tell me about some anonymous source within the administration, probably who's failing and probably here for all the wrong reasons. No, and the New York Times is failing. If I weren't here, I believe the New York Times probably wouldn't even exist. And someday...
That is vintage Donald Trump.
Right.
Right there. And you know what? He's. I remember his personal physician when they gave the first report. Because he was under attack from the get-go, and this personal physician in a interview with the media was asked, "How does he keep going? You know, day after day after day after day, he's just pummeled by the mainstream media. He's under attack all the time." And the doctor said he has this uncanny ability to go to bed at night, get some rest, and get up the next morning, go at it again.
Yeah,
I mean that's what you want in a president,
right?
You want that kind of individual. Just one more thing here. Yesterday, we had the privilege of having Dr. Robert Jeffress from First Baptist Dallas in with us talking about his new book. But we took the opportunity to ask him about this op-ed and the Bob Woodward book that's come out against the president and asked him about he knows the president. He's a special advisor to the president.
Right.
The things written by Bob Woodward, the things written in this op-ed, we asked Dr. Robert Jeffress, do they reflect the Donald Trump that you know?
I have not seen that side of the president. And look, I've had a number of interactions with him over the last 3 years, but I'm not a staff member either. We've seen numerous leaks out of this administration, and I think this president has people around him who are disloyal to him. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
So that was Dr. Robert Jeffress. So he's aware there are people around him, that being Donald
Trump. Pastor Jeffress does make the point, and we all remember the first weeks of the Trump administration. Leaks.
Oh,
I mean, just terrible leaks. Leaks of phone calls with
foreign dignitaries.
With foreign dignitaries, leaders of other countries. So it is clear to me that the resistance that apparently has joined together swampish Republicans and Democrats to try to sink this presidency. It may have its, it does have its problems, you know, but, you know, I have some sympathy, a great deal of sympathy for the president who's under siege and has, as president, as Pastor Jeffress said, he has obviously disloyal people around him.
And the problem here is this is a one-way street, because if we have a Senator Cory Booker as our next president, let's just say Bernie Sanders becomes president in 2 years or in 6 years, is it okay then if conservatives disagree with how they're doing things, is it okay if we put moles in the administration, leak classified information, leak foreign phone calls with foreign leaders? Is that okay just because we disagree with them? And I think they would argue, no, that's not okay.
It's okay when it suits their narrative,
yes,
and their purposes. One of the other things that I found just so hard to take as this, again, anonymous op-ed came to a close, this is what the writer says: we have sunk low with him and allowed our discourse to be stripped of civility. Now, I just got to tell you, that just beggars belief that anyone could make a statement like that, as if that kind of lack of civility started with the Trump administration. And what we're seeing playing out in the Kavanaugh hearings, which we'll get to here as they enter day three of the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings, we are seeing the left do things and continuing to do things that are not being done by President Trump. Okay, what we saw at the Kavanaugh hearings in terms of Democrats interrupting the proceedings right out of the chute in obvious collusion with the individuals who stood up.
Paid protesters
shouting to disrupt. Is that what you're talking about, anonymous op-ed writer? That you can't blame President Trump for that. I mean, I'm sure they would like to. I'm sure they would like to say, well, we have to do this to stop this president. Well, I don't buy that. This is a cabal. These are autocrats who can't get elected but still want to rule. That's what these people are like.
Yeah.
And they're revealing, they think they're revealing what's wrong with President Trump, but they're honestly revealing what's wrong with Washington. You know, the fact that people are so power hungry that they go to such disrespectful lengths to have their will implemented, if you will.
This is the same mentality as was revealed by Peter Strzok. He said, we're going to do something about this guy.
Yeah.
We can't let him get elected.
Exactly.
We have a plan B. We have all this stuff. This is the same kind of mentality by people who aren't elected, but they still want to rule. And we've got that all throughout Washington, as you said, Walker. And unfortunately for the president, he's got them in the White House and around him. I hope he can clean house, but he's going to have to find who these people are first. All right, folks, I told you, get your blood up. Go get some popcorn, get some coffee, get something to drink, make a little sandwich. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Kavanaugh hearings and other things that are going on. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got nothing but Italians on this show.
We're changing lives one question at a time. Trivia Friday is educational programming.
What big cat can't roar?
That's pathetic.
The mime cat. I've seen them. They got those white gloves on their paws.
You use milk to sweeten your breath.
In the first century.
What happened when the milk soured?
You got trouble.
Yeah, right that's there. A good.
See, you don't get a second date. I'll just tell you that right now.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, the very first day in Israel, when we're staying in Jerusalem, we go to the Mount of Olives. And it's there at the Mount of Olives we look out over the old city of Jerusalem. It's a spectacular sight. You've seen it in pictures before, but it's another thing to actually be there as we walk down from the Mount of Olives to the Garden of Gethsemane and we pray there. It's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country visiting the Holy Land, the land of Jesus. If you want information on this March 14th through the 22nd tour, just call us and we'll send you a brochure. Call 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5, and leave us your name and your address and we'll mail you a brochure. Or if you want to simply go online at twholyland.com, everything's there, twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. It's high school football time across the Fruited Plain, and in many stadiums, the pregame festivities include an invocation, a prayer typically delivered by a student from the public address system. But that won't be happening this year in Etowah County, Alabama. Students are still allowed to lead the prayer, but they are not allowed to use the public address system. The school district turned off its microphone after receiving a complaint from the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a Wisconsin-based group of atheist, agnostics, and freethinkers. They get triggered by stuff like this. They say it's against the law for a student to deliver a prayer through a PA system purchased with tax dollars. So what are the kids supposed to do? Scream the Lord's Prayer? The school district stressed they are not banning prayer. They're just banning prayer with a microphone. Well, that's like telling the kids they can play football, but they just can't use a ball. Come on. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today, who will be back in the captain's chair for tomorrow. Gee, that's Friday already. That is, I was thinking yesterday was hump day. Yeah. And I thought, nothing's better than a hump day that comes after having Monday off with Labor Day. You come back to work on Tuesday. The next day, you're halfway through. We'll have Trivia Friday tomorrow.
Then we'll have college football on Saturday.
Yes, man. I'll tell you what. Just look forward to a good, restful weekend. Get your batteries recharged, and then we'll be back at it on Monday. So Tim will be back in the chair for Trivia Friday tomorrow here on American Family Radio. Ed Vitagliano with Fred Jackson and Walker Wildman. Well, Fred, we mentioned the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. Oh, one thing that one of our viewers on Facebook asked. By the way, folks, you can also contact us by email at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. But someone on Facebook asked us to define what op-ed means, and it means, Fred, correct me if I'm wrong, opinion editorial.
Correct.
So that was back in the old days, really, when the news separated opinion from its reporting.
I remember those days.
Those were days when you said, okay, well, I want to know what people's personal opinion is. Mm-hmm. You turn to the op-ed page, that's where you got opinion and editorial. Sometimes you'd get an editorial from the editorial staff at the newspaper, or they would invite people to pen their own opinion, and you had to be somebody qualified. And then they would run that on the op-ed page. So.
Very common. In fact, on onenewsnow.com, we have an editorial section in the middle. If you go to onenewsnow.com, we have an editorial section. Dr. Michael Brown writes editorials. Someone familiar to American Family Radio. And we invite people to write editorials.
Right.
I think Ed Vitagliano has written some editorials from time. But
Walker
they're classified as an editorial. So you know up front, this is this person's opinion.
Right.
Versus doing a story about a hurricane, which is just the facts.
Right.
Or what's being said in Washington. Here's what he's saying. Here's what she's saying.
Right.
Without the opinions. And here's an editorial from me.
Yeah.
That has been lost. That separation that you talked about has been lost in mainstream media. Reporters have been given license to be biased.
Yes.
When I started
out, and
they
insert their opinions in the news stories now.
The words that they use in there. I've had discussions with the Associated Press in the last 2 years about why would the reporter use this term? And it has a little test. Folks, as what I'm talking about, count how many times that you will see over the next few weeks when you read secular news stories, count how many times the term right wing is used versus left wing. All right? You will see right wing used a whole pile of times. Right. Left wing, rare.
Right.
Rare. They want you to dislike the person when they describe them as a right winger.
Yes. So you will dismiss what you're about to hear.
Yes, or as an ultra-conservative.
Yes.
You won't see ultra-leftist, you know, to describe Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi.
Well, yeah, and on the pro-life front, you won't have someone described as a pro-life activist. They are called an anti-abortion activist.
Right. That's the style book.
On the other side, it's pro-choice.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you think those kinds of words, pro and anti, don't trigger certain reactions in people's minds, no, that is not it. That is not correct. They do trigger certain reactions, and that's why the AP style guide requires those words to be used.
And you can't use the term pro-abortionist according to that style guide.
Right.
You can't use pro-life. But you can't use that. You have to say anti-abortionist, but they won't allow you to use the term pro-abortionist.
Right.
Pro-choice.
Pro-choice.
A cushioned.
That sounds a lot better than saying pro, let me kill the nearest baby.
Right. Yes, exactly.
So, all right. So, folks, there's your little primer on journalism as it used to be. All right, Fred, let's talk about the outrage, and it is absolutely outrageous what has just happened in Washington during the confirmation hearings of Brett Kavanaugh, who was nominated by the president to fill Anthony Kennedy's seat on the U.S. Supreme Court.
All right, this is day three of the Kavanaugh hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee. There are documents that Democratic and Republican senators receive that are marked clearly confidential. And the reason being, the source on this are sources that were meant to be confidential. In the case of...
Let me just stop you right there for just a second, just to explain why that would be important.
Yes.
So you want people's opinions on the nominee. You want people to feel free to discuss what he or she in your future cases might have said about this issue. They're not going to answer those questions for the Senate confirmation, you know, for the Republicans and Democrats, if they think their opinion might be made public. So you give them confidentiality as a way to protect them and encourage people to provide documents and to provide opinions. So that's
exactly.
Just set the stage for that.
Judge Kavanaugh, before he became a judge, worked for the Bush administration from 2001 to 2006. In other words, he was privy to documents. President Bush, you know, he has this initiative, and Kavanaugh was a staff member. And so there are things written, emails back and forth between then President Bush and Kavanaugh has to different things they were working on. And so, but these have been marked confidential because they were meant to be confidential between the president and his staff. So they are marked confidential for this hearing. What has happened this morning is that Democrat Senator Cory Booker.
New Jersey.
New Jersey, who would like to be the next president of the United States.
Absolutely.
He announced and made public this morning and has carried out, has executed his threat just in the last few moments to release these confidential documents to the public. He just says, you know, I'm going to ignore this.
Has even admitted that the rules of the Senate are quite clear.
Yes.
That is, if you do this kind of thing, you can actually be expelled from the Senate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But he's gone ahead.
That's how serious this is.
He's done this. And so, you know, this is just the latest in this hearing of what's going on here. And the tone of it, I've never seen anything like this. You know, I've heard of some rough questioning of
right.
nominees for the Supreme Court of the United States, but I've never seen anything like this. So he is going against Senate rules. Booker has done this already this morning. But I also, just to give you a tone of the attack against Brett Kavanaugh in the last 24 hours, here's an example of the Democrat Senator from California, Kamala Harris. Now, let me just mention, she would also like to be the next president of the United States. Do not be surprised if she becomes one of those candidates. And yesterday, she was questioning Kavanaugh with regards to whether he has spoken to lawyers who may in some way have been connected to the Mueller investigation. All right. So she is asking. And so we're going to go here with cut number five, Brent. Cut number five. This is Kamala Harris asking Kavanaugh about, has he ever talked to a lawyer who might have been associated somewhere with a legal firm with an association with Donald Trump and the Mueller investigation? Have a listen.
Have you discussed Mueller or his investigation with anyone at Cassowitz, Benson, and Torres, the law firm founded by Mark Cassowitz, President Trump's personal lawyer? Be sure about your answer, sir.
Well, I'm not remembering, but if you have something you want to...
Are you certain you've not had a conversation with anyone at that law firm? Cassowitz, Benson, and
yeah.
Torres.
Well, is there a person you're talking about?
I'm asking you a very direct question, yes or no. It's a really specific question.
I would like to know the person you're thinking of, because what if there's...
I think you're thinking of someone and you don't want to tell us.
I'm not sure I know everyone who works at that law firm.
I don't think you need to. I think you need to know who you talked with. Who'd you talk to?
I don't think I'm not remembering, but I'm happy to be refreshed, or if you want to tell me who you're thinking
so
of who works.
Are you saying that with all that you remember... You have an impeccable memory. You've been speaking for almost 8 hours, I think more, with this committee about all sorts of things you remember.
Yeah.
How can you not remember whether or not you had a conversation about Robert Mueller or his investigation with anyone at that law firm?
You asked me that. I need to know who works there.
I think you can answer the question without me giving you a list of all employees of that law firm.
Well, actually, I can't.
Why not?
Because I don't know who works there.
This was absolutely amazing. And Republican Senator Mike Lee brought up the fact that there are dozens and dozens and dozens of law firms in Washington, D.C. Lawyers move around between these law firms
right.
over time.
Yeah, and when you say talk to, I mean, was it in the line getting coffee in the morning? Hey, how you doing, John?
And he also makes a Kavanaugh makes a point. This law firm has dozens of employees.
Yeah,
right.
I may not have been aware that they worked for that, but this is the entrapment mentality that that Judge Kavanaugh has been experiencing.
Well, he handled it perfect.
He did.
He said, "I don't know who works there. Tell me who works there, and maybe I can tell you if I've talked to that individual." But I got to tell you, Senator, I'm not sure I can remember everyone I've talked to since I've been in Washington.
Right.
Well, this is just absurd. My understanding is that what Cory Booker has done, he's been backed up by other Democrats
yes.
on the committee.
Yes.
Now, folks, we're gonna drop this issue for just a few minutes here, but I do want to make this point. This maybe some people say you're painting with too broad a brush. You know, at this point, I don't care. It's close to lunch. I'm going to do it. Okay. So here's what I'm saying. We, as we have talked about, when we were talking about the New York Times editorial, the anonymous editorial during the last segment. We are a bitterly divided country, but it goes far deeper than President Trump. It goes far deeper now than Republican versus Democrat or even conservative versus liberal. We are a divided nation, my opinion, over the issue of God.
Yeah. Mm.
That is the core disagreement in this country. You have the secular left that will do anything, including what we have seen in the Trump administration, okay, what we have seen the Democrats do today, rallying around Cory Booker. I don't even mind the Kamala Harris question because those kinds of idiotic questions get asked all the time in these kinds of hearings. But what Cory Booker did is characteristic of the anti-God left who don't care about rules. This is why they don't really care about the Constitution. They don't care about truth except as they want to create it. They don't care about the Constitution or who is right for the highest court in the nation because they don't care about God. And they don't care about God's truth. And for Cory Booker, dude, I don't want to overstate it. I mean, he hasn't blown up the White House like Madonna said she dreams of doing. But Cory Booker says, I don't care about the rules. Right. I know what the rules are, but we want to win. And we want to win so badly that I will risk being expelled from the Senate. He'll never be expelled from the Senate.
Because Republicans don't have the backbone.
Because the feckless Republicans,
spineless,
feckless Republicans, won't do a thing.
No.
They'll just cry a little bit, whine a little bit. But the Democrats will do whatever it takes to win. We'll break the rules. We'll undermine the presidency from inside. We'll do whatever we can to win. Because at the core of the secular left is a Marxist worldview. That's why they're globalists. That's why they hate America. That's why they that's why they despise the founders. And they will do anything to win. And that's what we're seeing being played out in Washington on a daily basis. All right.
Amen. Enough I'll second
my,
that one.
Enough from of my rant.
Now, that was an op-ed.
That was, yes. Close of my op-ed.
And you're not anonymous.
And I refuse to be anonymous. All right, Walker, we've got a got a guest on the line.
Yeah, a little bit of subject whiplash, but I think we can handle that. Talking about how you can, if you like what you hear on American Family Radio, you like what the work, you like the work of American Family Association, and you're looking for maybe a creative way to support us, we're going to talk about that. Right now we have on the line with us Lynn Ingram of Redeem Clean. Lynn, welcome back to Today's Issues.
Good morning, Walker. How are you being this morning?
Doing well, doing well, Lynn. Give our listeners just a brief overview of what Redeem Clean is and how it supports American Family Association.
Thank you, Walker. About 8 or 9 years ago, the Lord laid on my heart, how can you support the American Family Radio and American Family Association? I didn't know how to do it. I wanted to on a basis, on a scale that might really impact what y'all do in whatever the way you decide to do it, but to just share the Great Commission. And several years ago, the Lord just laid on my heart, Lynn, you've been in the laundry business for so many years. They had started in 1950, and you know more about that than anything else. So Jim Duncan, a very good friend and Christian brother in Austin, I developed a line of cleaning products primarily related to laundry named Redeem Clean, where the proceeds of this go to support whatever AFA and AFR does. And we have made this available. Everything that we have about it is unique. It's been designed and developed and formulated specifically to support AFA and AFR in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're talking about today, Walker.
Amen, amen. And if you want the product, folks, you can just visit our website, afastore.net. afastore.net. You can view the Redeem Clean products there. Across the board, there's three different kits, and they're $30 a piece. It lasts, Lynn, don't most of the products last about 60 to 70 loads of laundry?
As a general rule, with each kit that they get, it's good for about 2 months' worth of laundry. Of course, you know, if you've got seven kids and, you know, they're active and things like that, it may last, you know, a month or 45 days, whereas a couple that might need it, you know, every 3 months rather than every 2 months, it lasts that long. It's about 50 to 60 to 70 loads of laundry. And that's the beauty part of when they design this, is that there's a, you can change the frequency in ordering. So if you don't need it every 2 months, you need it every 3 months, you can change it. If you need it every 30 days, you can change it.
Mm-hmm.
What, so that's the way it was built, Walker.
Yeah, one question before we let you go about the Redeem Clean laundry detergent is Redeem Clean has a unique fragrance that some say they've never smelled before. What exactly is in it, Lynn?
They'll never smell anything like it. It was developed just for Redeem Clean. Most fragrances are added to products, whatever it is an off-the-shelf product or some part of that. Our man and our developer in Dallas that developed this formulated this fragrance. It's really unique, and it's not an off-the-shelf product. It's built just for this. And, you know, Walker, some people don't like fragrance, and we have the Free and Clear product that has no scent, no dye in it. Mm-hmm. That a lot of them like that. A lot of people love this fragrance. My family loves it because it smells clean coming out of the washer. It smells clean coming out of the dryer, but it's very unique. I've had people guess, some have guessed bubble gum, some have missed, oh, they've guessed everything in the world. And I don't even know what's in it, but I know I like it. And if our buyers, if the people that want to support AFA and AFR like it, I think they'll love it. If they want the Free and Clear, the dye free, we also have that available too. There's a lot of people that are sensitive to different things, Walker.
All right, Lynn, thanks for coming on and talking about Redeem Clean, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you, man. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Lynn.
All right, AFAstore.net if you're interested in Redeem Clean products, and it goes to support the American Family Radio.
All right, Fred, what else we got? Anything else we need to talk about in terms of the Booker, what Booker is, Cory Booker has done? By the way, not only I'm reading an article from The Hill now, because this is breaking news, what Cory Booker has done, and by what he has done, if you're just tuning in, he willingly and knowingly released confidential information and memos that are supposed to be only for the eyes of the Republicans and the Democrats who are on this committee that are overseeing the confirmation hearing for Brett Kavanaugh. Not only do other Democrats support what Booker has done, but others now I'm reading say, yeah, I'm going to release them too. This is complete lawlessness on the part of Democrats. Of course, they're saying, we have to, for the sake of the American people, they need to see this.
Yeah.
Right.
So, then, Democrat, why don't you release classified information?
You know, and one problem with this is, first off, I don't think that the executive documents, were when Brett Kavanaugh worked under the Bush, the second Bush, W. Bush, White House, he was the staff secretary. Well, the staff secretary essentially reviews every single paper that makes its way to the president's desk. And so if you want to release Brett Kavanaugh's, all of his documents while he served in the White House, that's not only Brett Kavanaugh's documents, that's everybody's documents, hundreds of thousands of documents. And I just have a problem with releasing that to this Senate, to these senators, knowing that they have no regard for the rules and they're willing to release it. So I place a little bit of responsibility on Senator Chuck Grassley, the chairman, for staying up all night last night. His staff stayed at the Capitol Hill till 3 in the morning trying to get these documents for the Democrats. And then here's what the Democrats do because Chuck Grassley's trying to be the nice guy.
One of the things I think is very interesting, Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat from Connecticut, in saying, yeah, we're going to do the same thing, he said there was, quote, no basis for the rules, talking about the rules making these documents confidential. No basis for the rules regarding these confidential documents. So we're not paying attention to the rules anymore? Fine. Mm-hmm. Then Senator Mitch McConnell dropped the rules for filibusters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If rules don't matter,
right,
that goes both ways. I want to hear Blumenthal squawk when Mitch McConnell says, great, didn't know the rules didn't count. So,
yeah. And you know they would.
Yes.
They would be highly upset.
Our good friend Steve Jordan has just sent us a little bit of audio from the hearings about Senator Booker and what he's done this morning. What you're going to hear is Senator Booker and Republican Senator Cornyn in an exchange about Booker's decision to release
Republican from Texas.
So you're going to hear an exchange over Booker's decision to release these confidential documents.
I knowingly violated the rules that were put forth, and I'm told that the committee confidential rules have knowing consequences. I am going to release the email about racial profiling, and I understand that, the penalty comes with potential ousting from the Senate. And if Senator Cornyn believes that I violated Senate rules, I openly invite and accept the consequences of my team releasing that email right now. We're rushing through this before me and my colleagues can even read and digest the information.
Running for president is no excuse for violating the rules of the Senate. No senator deserves to sit on this committee or serve in the Senate, in my view, if they decide to be a law unto themselves and willingly flout the rules of the Senate and the determination of confidentiality and classification. That is irresponsible in conduct, unbecoming a senator.
I agree. And and you know, here's the thing, that this game that the Democrats are playing, where Cory Booker says, we've had to rush through these documents. Right? Okay, now let me just set this up for our listeners as to the game that's being played here. Okay, it was established, we're going to have 4 days of hearings, all right? And the documents being demanded by the Democrats on the Senate committee overseeing this confirmation hearing have run into the hundreds of thousands of documents. Hundreds of thousands have already been released because of these demands. They continue to demand more and more, far in excess of all the documents released over the in the terms of the confirmation hearings of the last five nominees to the Supreme Court combined.
Yeah.
So what the Democrats do is they say, we demand that you release hundreds of thousands of documents that we know we can't read. And then because we know we can't read these hundreds of thousands of documents we're demanding, we're going to complain about it. Yeah. We're going to complain that we don't have time to read it.
Yeah.
And since we don't have time to read it, we're going to justify breaking the rules of the Senate and releasing confidential information to the American public. This is mind-blowing in its duplicity. And these people are... I'm just going to stop. I don't want to. There probably are. Just go ahead. I don't want to. I got to be careful. I don't want to insult people.
All right. The end game for the Democrats in this exercise, all that you're seeing that you just talked about, Ed, they do not want Kavanaugh approved before this election. That's correct.
Yes.
They want to put a stop to this hearing. But number two, let's remind our audience what happened with Obamacare. You have to pass it in order to know what's in it. Obamacare was a 2,500-page document.
Right.
And the Democrats told the people of America, we want the lawmakers to pass this thing without knowing what's in it.
That's a good point.
And the Democrats did that.
Yeah.
And Obamacare, really, let's make it very clear, had far more ramifications for every American than one nominee for the United States Supreme Court. So the end game here is they want these hearings delayed until after the election because they believe they might pick up a few seats in the Senate, et cetera, et cetera.
And another example of not reading documents is these budgets that they pass every few months.
Right.
There are 2,000-plus pages. They're released less than 24 hours before they vote on them, and the Democrats don't say a word about not being able to read the budget because they like what's in the budget, and so they don't have to read it. And it's only when something that they don't like is going on when they complain about not being able to read it.
Especially when they create the crisis.
Yes.
They create the crisis of having too many pages to read.
Because they requested them.
They requested them. Let me tell you one other thing I think is at work here, Fred. I don't disagree. I think you're exactly right. I think they're also, since they're probably going to lose here, and Kavanaugh will probably be confirmed, they are setting the stage for the replacement of a liberal on the Supreme Court.
Yes.
I think they're basically sending a message. You think we're fighting hard against Kavanaugh? You wait till you try to replace
Ginsburg.
It's going to be World War III, and I think they're also letting the Republicans know that. All right, we're going to take a five-minute break for news, and when we come back, we'll have more. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Join us in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.